Peace be unto you all. How are you all doing this morning? Great. Let us pray. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this morning I lend myself unto you. Use me as an instrument in your hand. Anoint my lips and use me to speak your unadulterated word to your people. And I pray, O Lord, that every heart, every mind, every soul under the sound of my voice shall be fertile to receive your word and let it mold and shape our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, beloved in Christ, I want to speak on the topic, a sacrifice that costs nothing is worth nothing. A sacrifice that costs nothing is worth nothing. See, it's safe to say that only a few people really enjoy raising money or asking people to give their resources. Finances and other resources. But we have to do it. It's necessary to ask the congregation, the people of God, to sacrifice and give for the sake of the kingdom. Amen. See, God is the one that first gave unto us. And God is the one that first loved us. James says in James 1:17, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If you look at Psalm 36, 7 to 8, it also says that how priceless your faithful love is, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They are filled from the abundance of your house. You let them drink from your refreshing stream. So everything that we have, God gave us, and I've said this here before in this pulpit. And you, the greatest of it all, the greatest sacrifice of it all is in John 3:16. And we're all familiar with that scripture. For God so loved the world. Can you say with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sacrificed his only Son. And therefore, for us, sacrificing for God should not be difficult to do. It should not. After all, he gave his only Son so that we might also become his children. But we miss this point in many ways. Many ways we miss this point. Sometimes we want to benefit from Christianity without paying any cost. We want God's blessings without us needing to give up anything in return. See, I'm going to ask all of you to close your fists. Close your fists. And just turn to the next person, okay, and say, I want you to give me something. And see if you can receive with your fist like that. Can you all receive with your fist like this? Yeah? Can you not see one channel catching there? Or more, baby. Now you won't say that, children. You cannot receive Even if it is air that is in there, a pocket of air, when you open, that air will leave, right? So that you can receive. Amen. Before you receive, you must give. See, sometimes we think that we're sacrificing all that we have, when really it is giving a gift to God from our excesses. God has blessed you so much, you don't know what to do with the remainder of it. You've done everything that you need to do. And then the excess, the remaining part of it, you bring to Christ. You bring to his house and you think you're giving to him. Yes, you're giving all right. But is it costing you to give? See, other cases, we want to give so that people will know that we are the ones that gave. And therefore, we do it for the praise of men. Hallelujah. But it's not coming from the heart. It must come from your heart, and it must cost you. You see, none of us were born generous. None of us. How many of you think you were born generous? What kind of quarapa? Amen. You are honest people. None of us was born generous. If you want to know, look at the kid, a child. If a child has a toy, ask them to give it to you. See if they will give it to you. We were not born generous. We were not. We were born to keep, look for things for ourselves. And therefore, giving, generosity is something that we have to be intentional about. We have to learn how to give, how to be generous until it becomes habitual. Amen? We have to learn how to give before it becomes habitual. And we have to be intentional about doing that. See, giving makes us godly. Psalm 37:21 says, the godly are generous givers. You simply cannot become godly if you don't give. You cannot. See, I once did a study of the scripture, some of the key words. So I looked at believe, I looked at prayer, I looked at love, I looked at give, and a few others. And the interesting thing that I found is that pray is used 371 times. The word pray is used 371 times in the scripture, in the Bible. The word believe is used 272 times. The word love is used 714 times. But the word give is used 2,162 times. Why? That's the question. Why? It's because God wants us to give so that we can reap the benefits of giving. Amen. And also giving deepens relationships, right? Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart would be, right? And so giving deepens relationship. Giving always draws you closer to whomever you are giving to. Anambwa. Right? Amen. Right? If you give to God, you draw closer to God. If you give more to your church, You draw closer to your church. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. You would not pump money into this church, this congregation, and then say, I'm just going to forget about it. No, you're going to be more intimate. Same way, if you give to Christ, you get more intimate with him. Giving also stretches our faith. It stretches our faith. Let's talk about the widow that Elijah went to. 1 Kings 17, 10 to 16. Elijah went to this lady and said, you know, give me water that I may drink. And also, make me a morsel of bread that I may eat. And then the widow said, my goodness, this is really hard. I only have my last flour and my last oil. I'm going to make me and my son a little bread. And then after that, when we eat, we will die. Because there is no hope from anywhere. This morning, I want to tell you, if you give unto God and you trust him and you give unto his church, your finances will not die. Your situation that you're in will not be the end, but you will go from greater to greater because he's a God that honors his word. Amen. I'm sure if it was you, you would say, you know, this prophet, is he really hearing from God? Is it really God that sent him here to come and kill me and my son? But this widow was faithful. Amen? She was faithful. Her faith was stretched. Her faith was stretched. She went ahead and used that last flour and that last jar of oil and made the bread for the prophet. And what does scriptures tell us? Never did that jar run out of oil, and never did that jar of flour ever run out. See, the God that we serve, he lives and he's real. Test him. I have tested him in all things, the littlest things. Sometimes you would think that this man here, with all the education, he must be a little loco. Because I test God with all things. He lives. I'm assuring you that because I have tried and it is true. But you see, your sacrifice should cost you just like it cost the widow. It didn't come easy. And our scripture reading from 2 Samuel 24, 18 to 25 tells us the same thing. It shows us what it means to sacrifice our resources for God. See, David, 70,000 people died because of his error. He made a mistake that cost 70,000 lives. He was remorseful. He was remorseful. And he cried unto God. See, David, there's something unique about David. A lot of difference between David and Saul. Let me digress a little bit and tell you. For Saul, it was always about the people. The people said, the people want me to. But with David, it was always about God. And so David always pleased God's heart. And therefore God said, David is a man of my own heart. So David knew when the prophet asked him to go to Araunah, who, by the way, is the same as Onan when you look at First Chronicles, he's mentioned as Onan, is the same person. Arona is the same person. See, when Arona saw him coming, he fell before him and said, "My king, I will give you everything and anything that you need for the sacrifice, the land, the animals, the fire. I'll provide everything." But David refused. David refused and said, "No, I will not take anything from you for free, for I will not offer a burnt offering to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing." I do care about your sacrifice. I do care about what you're going to give to God come December 1st during the harvest. But that's not why I'm talking about this. I'm talking about this to cultivate that culture of giving. Amen. So I'm not about the December 1st. You know why? That's only one time for the year. And it's not going to happen again till next year. So I'm not worried about that. Do I care about your giving that day? Yes, I do care about your giving that day. But I want us to understand that whenever we give, we must give to God that which cost us. Every one of us. And when we give, our focus must be on God. We must not give because it is a new person. We must not give because Papa Kojo my 1,000 and a member 2. That's not a right reason to give. Would I be happy to receive 2,000 from you? Of course I will, but I don't want you to give for that reason. I want you to give because you see God as a greater person in your life. Amen. Sacrifice is for everyone. See, Arona was ready to sacrifice. It wasn't going to be cheap on him to give his land, his oxen, everything, right? It was going to cost him. But he said, "I will give it to you, my king." So sacrifice is not only for the rich. It's not for the well-to-do. It's not for those that have excesses. Sacrifice is for all of us. Because Arona, the poor farmer, was willing to give that which will cost him. That's the lesson I want you to take away from here today. Sacrifice is for everyone. And the king, of course, said, "I'm not going to take it for free because I want to give to God something that will cost me." A sacrifice that costs nothing is worth nothing. As I bring my message to a close, I want to bring your attention to something. In the 21st chapter of Chronicles, I know the Lord was pleased with David, because it says in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 21:26, "And God answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering." The Lord was pleased by what David did. The Lord is always pleased with sacrificial offering. See, it's interesting to know that the land that cost David to acquire would later become the site of Solomon's temple. Listen carefully. The land that he bought, he only built an altar there to sacrifice. Who is Solomon? Who is the father of Solomon? David. That site be- came Solomon's temple. If you can see that in 2 Chronicles 3:1. It's very important truth for us to remember. When we sacrifice for the kingdom of God, we are laying the foundation. Beloved, we are laying the foundation for the next generation to continue to worship and to grow in their faith, while also imparting to them the importance of the principle of giving. You go to other churches, especially the Pentecostal churches, the youth carries the church. We never had the opportunity, right? Some of us, we did not earn the money that our kids are earning today. But we don't teach our children how to give. We have to start teaching them right from children's service. When they go to children's service, we have to give them a dollar. The children's service teachers, they have to take offering from them. It's about teaching them the principle. We have to teach how to give in JY. We have to teach giving here, because we, the Reformed churches, we don't teach giving. So when the minister gets into the pulpit and starts talking about giving, it becomes awkward. Now, why be all? Yes, Papa Yopiska, how can someone do? We have to teach giving. And giving is not only about money, by the way. It's not only about money. So when I stand here to preach about giving, and giving what will cost you, it's not just about your money. It's about your time. It's about your talent. Sometimes I come to Friday prayers and I just got off of work. But I have to come and give my time and my talent to God. It costs me, because I don't eat before going to work, and I don't eat all day at work till I get home in the evening. So I'm sacrificing. Some of you go to work in the night and you get home and you come straight to church without resting. You are sacrificing. It's costing you. So it's not just about money. I'm not here to just talk about money, but anything, your talent. You know how to play the instrument. Don't let us beg you to play the instrument for God. It's your sacrifice. You know how to sing. Let us not beg you to sing. It's your sacrifice that you give to Christ. You have the money to give. Let us not come and stand here and talk before you give. It's your sacrifice to God. And you have the time on your hands. Volunteer. Volunteer your time to do something for Christ. It's not just about money. I encourage you, people of God, to look for areas to sacrifice your time, your talent, and your substance for the glory of God. The things of this world are temporary, but when we sacrifice for the kingdom, it guarantees us eternal existence and eternal benefits. My prayer to you is that you will honor Lord our God and serve Christ with everything that you have, everything that he's giving you, while leaving a godly legacy. Leave a godly legacy of obedience to the next generation. Let's teach them to give while we ourselves learn to give unto the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, your word has come to us, and we thank you for it. We have learned that our sacrifice to you, whether it's our time, talent, or money, must cost us. May you give us that courage. May you give us a spirit of obedience to always remember that this is what you have called us to do. May it not only be for this period of harvest that we give, but may we be reminded the rest of our lives, O Lord, till you call us to be with you in heaven, that giving should be our sacrifice, and it must cost us. We thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.